Okay. Open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy. And guess what? I don't get any notes today. They're preaching. Yeah. So, I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us. He's always here to show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. And he's going to show me how to get through this. Because it's your word and it's your idea. And Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you've given unto us. We praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to start at verse 1. But if you've noticed that there's certain keys that work in certain places. You know, you can take a Dodge key and start a Dodge pickup with it. You can't, however, start a Ford pickup with it. The same way with the Word of God. There's certain things that work for certain things. That's why I tell you, it's so very important to pay attention. Number one, what side of the cross was this set on? Number two, who's talking and who are they talking to? See, there's some things in there that pertain to the Jewish people and not Christians. There's some things in there that pertain to the Gentiles and not the Christians. There's some things in there that pertain to Christians and not Gentiles. So you got to understand, not everything in that Bible is meant for you. And here's another important thing. Believe what you read. Don't read what you believe. Indoctrinated people will read what they believe. You know, there's just certain churches that just will not preach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are certain churches that will not speak about speaking in tongues. There are certain churches that will not talk about miracles and healing. Certain churches that will not acknowledge the fivefold ministry. The Bible is God's word to us. We got to pay attention, though, to who they're talking to. You know, one of the traps that people have fallen into is in 1 John 1:9. It said, if you ask God to forgive you, he will, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's true. But then once you get born again, you have to understand that 1 John 1:7 is where you are. You walk in the light as we are in the light, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Why is that so critical? Why would it matter? Because people will walk around with a sin conscience. They're on their knees every time they make a mistake. They're asking God to forgive them. Every time they go to church, the altar, they're out there asking God to forgive them. Finally, they just get so frustrated and they say, I can't live like this. I'm done. And they're right. That's the first honest thing they did. They said, I can't do this. All the while, they weren't expected to do that. They were expected to live in 1 John 1:7. When they made a mistake, they were supposed to go to Jesus and say, thank you that I'm forgiven. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are supposed to have a righteousness conscience, not a sin conscience. See, these are little things that happen. You know, when you don't pay attention to who's talking and who they're talking to. There's a whole doctrine running around. People get water baptized for the remission of their sins. I've seen that in Word of Faith circles. They should know better. Only the blood of Jesus can take your sins away. That's the only way your sins get remitted. So how'd they come up with the idea of getting water baptized for the remission of their sins? Because it's in the Bible. But they weren't paying attention to who was talking and who they were talking to. That guy was talking to Jewish people that already had a covenant with God. They already had a covenant. All they had to do was repent, which is change their mind about Jesus, get water baptized, and they're in. Us, the Gentiles, what they told us to do was believe that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. Amen? That's why it's so important to pay attention. Now, there's some particular prayers in the Bible. Some prayers are for believers, and one prayer is for sinners. It's for people that haven't been born again. So if you want a particular prayer, if you got somebody that you want to see get born again, we'll look at that one first. We'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's his word on that. That's where God stands. He said that he would that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So how do we pray that to God? Remember, he said, remind me of my word. Let us reason together. So you can go to the Father in the name of Jesus and say, Father, your word says that you would that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. I plead the blood of Jesus over Butch, and I ask you in the name of Jesus to change his heart, to let him open the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit flood into his heart, cause him to see you as his Savior and be born again. That's just an example. I didn't mean to just dangle you over the pit of hell like that. Just but that's how we do it. When we have somebody that we want to see born again, there's our word. Remind God, said, you already said that you would that all men be saved. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to open this man's heart to the Holy Spirit. Cause somebody to get in front of him so that he would accept the gospel and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now here's a key. When they ask you to pray for them or pray for somebody in their family, there's an open door. There's an open door. You got it wide open. Hit it. Hit it with the full force of heaven. Get in there and pray. And say they just want you to pray for rain or want you to pray for healing of a loved one or something, they gave you an open door to get the Word of God into the whole situation. It can change whole families. I've seen it. Just one right after another, right after another. God would just change their hearts. Just boom, 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 boom. Well, because somebody just asked for prayer for one person. Amen? That's another promise in the Bible. It told us this in Acts. It says, this is how you and your household. That's a big opening. That's how you and your household get saved. Amen? Now, let's go to Ephesians. Now, this 1 in Timothy is the one for the person that's not born again. But let's go to Ephesians. And there's two prayers in there that we're going to look at. And these are for believers. These prayers are for believers. Now, you can pray these for yourself and receive them by faith, or you can pray them for another person. You know, sometimes there's born-again people that are running around, they're like a caged squirrel. You know, they're as crazy as they were the day they got born again. Believe me. But they're still born again. That might be the only thing they know, is that God raised Jesus back to life and that they confessed Jesus to be Lord. I mean, they might have even got dunked. And then they come up out of that water, they're still just as crazy as they were before they got wet. Because they didn't have any time to get the word into them and let God renew their mind and change their mind on some things. They know something is really different on the inside of them. And they get all kinds of wild ideas. And they do all kinds of strange things. But they don't know what happened for sure. They just know they said that prayer. And the Holy Spirit got in there and he's changing things. And they sense that change. They know there's something going on. And they don't know how to handle that. And it seems like for the first 30 days, they almost can't do nothing wrong. Man, they can pray some really wild prayers and get answers to prayers and just wild blessings come their way. But it's important for them to get into a church, an atmosphere where they can learn, where they can be lifted up, where people can see them and encourage them. And every once in a while say, you know, you might not want to do that. You know, might do this. Might work better for you. But let the Holy Spirit do the changing in them. And here's a prayer. That the Holy Spirit gave to Paul. Paul gave it to the church. He didn't just give it to the Ephesians. He gave it to the church. That's us, the body of Christ. He started in chapter 1, verse 15, he said, wherefore, also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Where have we heard that? Thank you for giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. You hear that a lot here. You claim that. You get the spirit of wisdom and revelation the more you learn of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said to learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The more you learn of Jesus, the more wisdom and knowledge is going to come your way. Yeah? The Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. But we have to have this thing renewed. I remember one time I was in a spin dry. You know what a spin dry is? That's where you go to quit drinking. You know, they got all these nice nurses running around and doctors and people checking in on you. And one day I was walking down the hallway and I said, you know something? I think these guys are trying to brainwash me. And I stopped. And I said, you know, maybe I need my brain washed. Because I'm in pretty big trouble here. You know, so they went ahead and finished their program on me, you know, but here's the deal. We go through a lifetime of learning wrong information, misinformation, half-truths, you know, and just some of out-and-out blasphemous lies. You know, they start us off in school, and they grade you, and they teach you that their way is right. And they start telling you pretty soon about this man that found this tooth, and he deducted that somehow man came from monkeys, and it turns out there's a pig's tooth. That we somehow evolved from slime, and we crawled up out of the slime, turned into a frog, and then we grew a tail, and we turned into a lizard, and climbed a tree, and we was a monkey. We grew some fingers and thumbs, and then one day our tail fell off, and we jumped out of the tree and said, I'm a man. That's what we get taught in school. And we get graded on it. And if we don't agree with it, we fail. And now it's even worse. Now, I mean, it's even worse. But we get flooded with false information. We get flooded with lies. And we go through life thinking these are facts. They may be facts in some ways, but then all of a sudden we get born again one day. And everything we believe is in conflict with what this thing says. You know, the Bible tells us not to be wise in our own eyes, but be wise in the understanding of God. See, it's a hard thing for a man. For some men, it wasn't all that super hard for me to just take out what I believed and put it on the table and match it up with the Bible and say, well, mine's wrong. I raised like a coyote, lived like a coyote most of my life. And then all of a sudden one day these cowboy evangelists showed up and I was born again and I dunked in the water and I was standing there and my head was still spinning. I didn't know what happened. I just knew I was born again. But the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to get in the Bible and read this thing and find out what's in there. And he started changing me from the inside out. It might be hard. I noticed sometimes some of the hardest people to accept this are Bible Belt people. You know, that have been sitting in church for 30, 40, 50 years. And by God, this is the way it is. Well, why is it that way? Well, that's the way Mama says it. That's the way the pastor says it. That's the way it is. This is what we believe. And they will not change. They will not take what they believe, put it on the table, and match it up with the Bible. And if what they believe is not right, They won't get rid of it because they're right. That part of the Bible has been done away with. Somehow, miracles ceased to exist. That was only for the early day church, stuff like that. Believe what you read and not read what you believe. See, it's easy to find the parts of the Bible that you like and treat it like a smorgasbord. And just, I like this chapter and I like this book, but oh man, I don't like this part. I'm going to just skip over this. That's dangerous. Now I said, believe what you read. I didn't say you had to understand it. There's a lot of things in there that I believe. I have no idea how in the world I'll ever operate in it, but I know it's there. I know Peter walked on water and Jesus walked on water too. I don't know how that happened, but I believe it. And I guess, you know, if Jesus decided it was time for me to walk on water, then let's go. I'm not going to go out there and jump in that pool just to see if I can walk on water. You know, I did read a story about hear about a heroin addict one time that went to a Holiday Inn and locked himself in the room for 30 days and did nothing but read the Bible. And he'd come out of there, he didn't take any drugs. He got off the drugs, got off the heroin, walked out of his room, and there were some people in the swimming pool. He said, you guys need to get Jesus in your heart right now. And they said, well, you think you can do anything? I can do whatever the Bible tells me to. He said, well, walk on this water. He just stepped in that pool and he sunk to the bottom, but he stepped out, man. But here's the thing. He was believing what he was reading. He wasn't just sorting out what he liked and what he didn't like. See, unfortunately, the modern day, not the church, but the modern day church goers. See, there's a difference between church goers and the church. There's a huge difference in church goers and the church. There's a lot of church goers that go to church every Sunday that aren't born again. They don't even believe in being born again. They don't think it's necessary. There's churchgoers that go to church every Sunday that don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. True story. So there's a difference between the church and the churchgoers. But the churchgoers, well, try to make the Bible fit their own personal lifestyle instead of making their personal lifestyle fit to the Word of God. Amen. They'll try to change the Word to fit them instead of letting the Word change them. It's not a new concept. The Pharisees did that too in the Old Testament. That's why Jesus had all these conversations and these parables, you know, in the Pharisees would come up to him and they say, this woman here, she should be stoned for adultery. And he wrote something in the sand. I don't know what he wrote in the sand, but he said, he without any sin in his heart, cast the first stone. And they just walked away. Another time they tested him on the law. And they said, if you commit adultery, you've broken the law. And he said, if you even look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you commit adultery. What they did is they drug the law down to a level that they thought they could keep. And Jesus just raised the bar back on them to its righteous standards where it was, where nobody could keep it. Only him. And then that was what it was designed to, was to bring a man to the end of himself so they could see their need for a Savior. They turned to Jesus. Yeah. So that's a little bit about the wisdom of God. The wisdom in the knowledge of Christ. Now this is what we're praying for somebody.
Father, that you would open their hearts,
that they would receive this wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Have you ever thought about that? That verse right there? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places? Have you ever thought about that? The very same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead is the very same Holy Ghost that gave you a new heart, came inside of you and turned your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And this is the very same Holy Spirit that when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon you and empowered you and endued you with power to go out and do good things in the kingdom. A lot of the church is missing this. And here's how I know they're missing this. Because they wait months. They'll have some sickness or something wrong in their body or some terminal illness, and they'll wait for months because there's some anointed preacher that's going to come to Dallas and he's going to preach. And he's got this special anointing. And I know that if I go there and he lays hands on me, I'm going to be healed. Probably will be. Because that's where they got their faith set. But did you know that little grandma down the street? She got the baptism of the Holy Ghost too. And she's got the same anointing as that guy does. You can go down there and get the same healing that you can get from him. Did you know that you got the same anointing when you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You got the same anointing as that guy did? Because you got the same Holy Ghost. Not a different Holy Ghost. You got the same one. You know, the big time preachers, they don't get a better Holy Ghost than you do. That's not the way God operates. You got the same Holy Ghost. And he can do the same things through you as he does through them. Another one that really used to bug me is, you give me $50 in this offering, you can share in my anointing. Really? I think I'll keep my $50 because I got an anointing of my own from the Holy Ghost. You see what I'm saying? That's what these verses right here are about. The power of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead, is the very same Holy Ghost that resides upon you. Now here's the biggie. He set us at the right hand of God. It says right here in verse 20, it says, what you wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Well, how can I say that? He set us in there. So we're the body of Christ. You can't put the head somewhere that the body ain't. You just can't. Spiritually speaking, we're right there. We're far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You know,
Some of you have been to the doctors, and some of the names that they have for some of these diseases, and the people come back and tell me, and they try to pronounce them, and it's a huge, long name, and it just sounds absolutely terrible. And you can tell that it struck fear in their hearts, and it was like, they said, and you got 6 months to get your affairs in order. You know, they always got to throw a date in there like they're God or something. So you got 3 months to get your affairs in order. You know, they make these predictions. You're never going to walk again. You're never going to live again. You're never going to live through this. You're not going to walk again. You know, they always do this stuff. And it's just terrible. It drives me nuts. It scares people plumb out of their mind. But you have to understand, it doesn't matter what disease it is. It doesn't matter what kind of cancer it is. It doesn't matter if it's a stroke. It doesn't matter if it's AIDS. It doesn't matter nothing. It's a name. And you've been placed far above all those names. And all those names have to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. Amen? You know, several years back, there was a little boy that got in an accident and hit his head, and we prayed for him in here. We prayed for him. They said, man, they didn't know if he was even going to live. We prayed for him. Pretty soon, he's living. They said he'll not walk. Pretty soon, he was walking. They said, well, he won't be able to ride. Pretty soon, he was riding. Then he just won a calf rope. Out and out, just won a calf rope here the other day. The Word of God outweighs the facts of man in this natural world. Let's go on here. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So all these things, all these troubles, all these problems, all these diseases are under Jesus' feet, then they've got to be under your feet. I like what my friend used to say. If the devil has anything to say to me, he's going to have to say it to the sole of my foot. That's just the way it is. He's been placed under you. Then he goes on to say, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We're his body. We are the body of Christ. When you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a Methodist, a Baptist, a Catholic, a non-denominational, Word of Faith, or Pentecostal. It just doesn't matter. If you're born again, you're part of the body of Christ. If you're not, you're a churchgoer. If you're not part of the body of Christ, then you got to be born again. That means you repent. That's another one of those religious words. For some reason, there are some people that think if they don't get this poor guy into a room by himself and spend 3 or 4 hours in there, that he didn't repent. Confessing all these sins. As if he could remember all his sins. He already feels bad enough as it is. Don't make him feel any worse. You know how long it took Paul to repent? Flash of an eye. Boom. got knocked off his donkey, looked up and said, "Who are you, Lord?" "You're Lord." He repented. "You're Lord." That's what repent means. Change your mind about God. Amen? It's time people quit torturing people with this. God made this thing so simple. He made this so simple. Paul warned us. He said, don't let the simplicity of the gospel be lost. Jesus made this thing easy for us. He made it simple for us. In the Old Testament, it was hard. You had to work. You had to do things. You had to do things right. You had to do things right all the time. You had certain times you had to do things. You had certain ways you had to do things. You had lists you had to follow. You had all these things you had to do. Now, we have to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds pretty simple, isn't it? But somehow, people want to add one more thing to it, or two more things to it, or do this other thing. You can't possibly be born again if you don't do this. I had a guy tell me one time, said, "You can't possibly be born again if you're not a Mason." I didn't know much, but I knew that wasn't right. I thought, what in the world? That's not exactly how I said it. I said, what in the world has being a Mason got to do with anything about being a Christian? See how people complicate things? It's the doctrines of men. Jesus said the traditions of your fathers have made the word of God to none effect. See why it's so important to ask yourself what you believe and why you believe it? Ask yourself sometimes some of these things. Why do you believe this and why do you do this? And then look at the history. Find out what it is about this thing that makes you do this. Here, ask yourself why you believe in Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Some of these things you just need to ask yourself. Find out how this tradition got started. Look up the history of it. It'll make you wonder how in the world whole churches celebrate Halloween. And then defend it. And this pastor was telling me about it. And I thought, it was just so stupid. I just couldn't even take part in the conversation no more. I just thought. And then another pastor telling me, well, whether we're Christian or Muslim, we got the same God. And they're like, how did you come up with that? Well, the Muslims, they came from Abraham. I said, well, yeah, through Ishmael. But that's not the same God. And they were serious, two of them. They were serious about it. I said, there's no words for that kind of stupidity. Pastors that actually support abortion. I said, you didn't get that from the Bible. Well, we don't really support abortion. I said, I told him, I said, the H-E-L-L, if you don't, you vote for that platform, you support abortion. Period. See why it's so important to just look at this thing and measure it against your doctrine or your belief system and then say, well, man, I've been wrong about this. Wipe it off and get in line with the Word. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your Word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the life that Christ has put in our hearts. We thank you that every time we learn of Him, we grow in wisdom. We grow in revelation. We're learning of Him. And it's His ways. And now we're learning His ideas. And the Holy Spirit teaches us and shows us how to operate in this kingdom. We know we're not going to get it all right. But we know that by your grace, we're going to be okay. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.